Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from London is Kevin Brain. Kevin is a Regional Managing Director of Compliance, Risk, and Diligence for Kroll, which is a division of Duff & Phelps. Kevin, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Adam, thank you very much for joining me and engaging with me on this topic.
So, and the topic that we'll be addressing is economic sanctions. It's getting to be a very complex world of economic sanctions out there, which is causing a great deal of both confusion as well as difficulty. Probably, Kevin, first, it's best if you can recount the key economic sanctions that are out there that business needs to be aware of.
Of course. So primarily, business, and I mean that in a sort of Western-centric view, business is concerned with both U.S. sanctions and European Union sanctions, which are both broad and applicable to almost any corporate entity that has a sort of global footprint. The reason U.S. sanctions remain the scariest in some respect is that the U.S. has a more active regulator, and the economic consequences of falling foul of U.S. or EU sanctions can be quite severe. Just as a reminder, there are two broad types of sanctions applied by the U.S. in particular, and those are individual sanctions, which target specific companies and specially designated individuals, but also sectoral sanctions, which will target a whole industry in a particular sector related to a particular country. So, for example, Russian oil and gas interests in particular are subject to sectoral sanctions at the moment.
Now, it's notable that there's one area where there's a lot of dispute lately is in the case of Iran. The EU has taken a very different approach than the U.S. and is working to keep doing business with that country. Where does that leave the business community?
Well, this is extremely topical because, as you will know, and as most of the people who keep an eye on Iran will know, the U.S. not only has changed tack with regards to Iran over the last year or so, from an environment where sanctions regimes targeting Iran were being lightened, they're now being strengthened. And just last week, the U.S. confirmed that they were scrapping a number of sanctions, Iran-specific sanctions waiver, which allowed certain industries and certain types of business to be conducted with Iran in compliance with the current raft of Iranian sanctions. Yes, you highlight a growing divergence between the EU and the U.S. The U.S. is taking a harder line on Iran at a time when the EU it was seeking to take a softer line or was actually looking at lightening the sanctions regime targeting Iran. And within the EU, there are also fairly wide differences. So I'm French. France is taking, as far as the U.S. is concerned, a particularly aggressive pro-Iran stance. And this leaves business with a conundrum. On the one hand, you have EU regulations which allow greater leeway to go into Iran. But on the other hand, you have the U.S. regulators saying, well, if you go into Iran, even if you are in line with EU sanctions, we might shut the door on you in the U.S. If we feel you've breached local sanctions. For most businesses that have a U.S. footprint, this is a no-brainer. It's not worth the commercial damage of upsetting the U.S. regulators, even if there are opportunities they would have otherwise sought to pursue in Iran. So I think some companies, some European companies that feel they have very, very, very little U.S. exposure, may well take advantage of the changes in EU regulation and seek to do a bit more business in Iran. But when presented with commercial opportunities in Iran, But the risk of losing access to US markets and being fined in the US, most multinationals will essentially comply with the US sanctions before, rather than adopting the softer line. You've seen France in particular, which has suggested they would compensate French companies financially should they comply with French law but be fined by the US for or suffer economic damage from the US regulators for because of this discrepancy between this different attitude towards Iran.
To avoid violating the sanctions, some stuff is cut and dried, like when you're dealing with country, but as you mentioned, individuals may be subject to sanction, which means it's essential to have a really good sense of who owns a company, in addition to where that company is housed or where it does business. How deeply should an organization dig to determine who the ultimate beneficial owners are?
Okay. So understanding how deep an organization needs to go to identify UBOs is really one of the sort of key answers that MLROs and risk officers are looking for. There is no perfect answer to that. In some instances, there are regulatory obligations to identify UBOs, and there's no shortcuts. In some instances, the information is easily available and in the public domain. In others, it is much harder to find genuinely who controls the company. So there are a number of things organizations need to do. I mean, first is companies need to stop being afraid of asking the right questions. If ownership or control are unclear, then you can always rely on asking the relevant party to make adequate disclosures, to produce documentation. When that's not possible, or when an organization wants to do the work with less input from the relevant parties, they need to roll up their sleeves and access whatever publicly available information is out there, analyze it, and then make a judgment call if they still don't have a definitive answer. But there are, this remains increasingly challenging in some countries or when you're looking at entities that have opaque structures. So how deep should an organization go? As deep as they can. And from a regulatory perspective, they need to be able to demonstrate that the amount of effort they put in was proportionate to the perceived risk. And in some cases, regulations just say you have to get the answer one way or another. And in those cases, if it's not in the public domain, you need to go back and ask.
So now, what are some common mistakes that businesses are making when it comes to dealing with economic sanctions, and how can they avoid them in the future?
Well, there's a couple of things that we've seen that have embarrassed companies. And firstly, it can simply be being slightly too European or US centric. It's easy to forget that while regulatory sanctions that are get garner the most interest of those laid out by the US and the EU, every country has some form of sanctions regimes, and some countries have imposed economic sanctions that are very different from those imposed by the US or the EU. We have seen international businesses operating in Saudi Arabia, for example, recently get into trouble because they'd failed to understand that Saudi has its own sanctions regime. The Saudis at the moment are targeting a number of Qatari, Lebanese, and other GCC countries, companies and entities. And those entities are not under EU or US sanctions. But nonetheless, if you're operating for an international company out of Riyadh, you have to pay attention to local regulatory requirements. Likewise, the Ukraine is, of course, in a long-running, you can call it, dispute with Russia, and Ukraine has a much longer, much more extensive list of Russian entities and individuals that are sanctioned by the Ukrainian government and prohibited from doing business in Ukraine. And a lot of these people are not sanctioned by the EU and not sanctioned by the US. So first mistake to avoid is remember to check local requirements. Don't just apply one size fits all based on US or EU rules. And the second thing that we see fairly regularly are companies looking for, you know, conducting KYC, know your customer type checks, and establishing that the owners of a company are not sanctioned and moving on and not realizing that they haven't actually gone to the end of the ownership change. So they might have gone up one or two ownership levels, but haven't really identified the individuals who genuinely control the company. And the third is, in some cases, you can't rely on the limited data that is out there. Corporate filings and publicly available corporate registry files are extremely reliable and easy to obtain in some countries. They are far less reliable or almost universally out of date and just wrong in others. So again, you know, understanding that if you're looking for the ownership details of a company in Egypt, you will need to go on the ground and pull hard copy records with at least two Egyptian public bodies to get relatively up to date ownership details and shareholding details for a local entity. If you simply rely on an online check from a third party database, you'll get something that is almost certainly out of date.
Thanks. Well, I think that's great advice for people to avoid getting it wrong and hopefully get it right, because obviously this is an area where there's a lot of risk for business, both in terms of doing business with people you don't want to be doing business with, as well as running afoul of substantial regulatory authorities around the world. Well, Kevin, thank you for taking the time to share this information with us. I want to thank all of you for listening today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we are able to expand your compliance perspective.